Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Welcome everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out the site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at 110 Nation. Glad to be here on this Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday night. Glad to be back in the studio. We'll have Izzo joining us here in about 30 minutes. Glad to have him joining us. And we'll, of course, be getting you guys caught up on all the latest going on in the NHL. Don't forget, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, you got to catch Craig and Chris. I'll be hanging out with them. Last week I was on the show. It was a hell of a show. If you missed last Thursday night, you need to go back and play, replay Thursday night show. But you guys can catch Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig Thursday night, 8 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. So make sure you guys don't miss that as well. Got to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus and Fit for Life. Without these great marketing partners, we couldn't do what we do or continue to grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure that we thank them. We do apologize for missing last Tuesday night. I was having internet issues, could not get the show scheduled, studio pulled up or nothing. So it was unfortunate with that. Glad to be back in the studio tonight, and glad to have an opportunity to cover a few things before we get Izzo in here and do what we do. Tournament right around the corner. All the highlights and looking forward to watching all the basketball, the college basketball. We're about to get an opportunity to sit down. I know my assistant manager next Tuesday, she's going to catch the first round play here in Dayton. So looking forward to that. Got an opportunity last weekend. Not this weekend, but the previous weekend. Last 2 weekends, we've actually had an opportunity to go out, but the weekend before, things have finally started to calm down at work. For those that don't follow me personally on Facebook, you know, I took over a store that was doing mid-30s in a week, and we've done a lot of work to turn things around this week, mid-40s. We were barely top five pizza and burrito sales in our food made to go in the company. Number one in pizzas, number two in burritos. So don't get in the process of the whole taking over, lost a lot of employees, either theft, felt that they could work when they wanted to, or just wasn't ready to be on board to have somebody that was expecting everybody to hold their weight. And so it's been a process and a half, but got a pretty solid staff at this point, so got an opportunity to actually have someone in life outside of work. Between that, outside of work with Brandy, the kids, church, hell, you got five concerts lined up in the next 3 or 4 months. Dayton Dragons baseball game. Got a not opening day, but the second day tickets. Just got a lot of things already in the works. But got an opportunity to go out the previous Friday, day after my birthday. And the Dayton game was on. And I forget who they were playing. It might have been like Davidson or some. It seemed like it might have been Davidson. And I got into the same conversation as I got into a conversation with somebody. And I think it was in my store. Somebody, I forget who I talked to. I saw it to somebody. Oh, my brother. And asked, you know, what I thought. Did I think Dayton was going to go the way? What, you know. And as exciting as it is to see Dayton number 3 in the entire nation, 29-2, 15-0 in conference play, as exciting as it is to see that, I got to be realistic at the same time. It's not like Dayton is playing Duke. Not like Dayton is playing Michigan State. Not like Dayton is playing Kansas or Gonzaga or any other top conferences. I would be more impressed with their 29-2 record, undefeated in the conference play, if they were playing against ACC teams. If they were playing against a lot of the SEC teams. If they're playing against a lot of the Big Ten teams. And that would be more impressive to me. You know, this reminds me a lot of those years that we had to listen to people talk about Boise State football. Boise State undefeated. They should, you know, they should be having a shot at a national title. Okay, who did they play? University of Florida, what is that, USF? USF? That was what it sees. I think I'm going to see. Not sure if I'm going to see. Okay. It was coming. Allergies that kicked my butt for the last 2-3 weeks. But anyway, UCF, University of Central Florida, UCF. Had to hear that a couple years with their undefeated run. Well, little bad, they're undefeated. I do apologize. They're impressive. No, it's not an impressive one. That's like all the hype around Oregon the year that Ohio State won the national title. Of course, Ohio State kicked Oregon's ass. Oregon didn't play nobody. They played a bunch of whack teams out west. They didn't play SEC teams. They didn't play Big Ten teams. They played a bunch of nobodies out there. So, of course, when Marcus Mariota and Chip Kelly and that Oregon team had to play an actual legitimate team in the playoff, of course, they wheeled it up and looked like garbage because they played nobody. Of course, I'd hear it's, oh, you know, you're always doubted Dayton. You're always booed. It's not that. I hope they surprise me. I would more than anything love to see UD, Elite Eight, Final Four, national title. That would be great. I will support them. I will cheer them on all the way through. But I got to be realistic about you. I watch a team play in the A-10. Unless you watch UD basketball, unless you watch other teams that is in the A-10, you never even heard of the A-10 conference. I mean, I didn't even know what conference they were until I watched their game. And I grew up in Dayton and moved back to Dayton. And if I wouldn't have been out at a bar and they had the game on, I wouldn't even watch the game that particular time. But I wouldn't know unless it was written on the basketball court what conference they were even in. It's interesting to see people get their hopes up. It's interesting to see people make such a big deal about it. Like I said, I'm going to support them. I'm not going to be the front, rah-rah cheerleader. I'm not going to, Dayton's going to do this and Dayton's going to do that. I will support, like I said, support them all day long. But I got to be realistic about who I think is going to win. Especially when people ask me, how do you think Dayton's going to do? Or who do you think is going to win the tournament? Well, I'm sorry, but Dayton's not one of the top even 10 teams that I would assume we're going to pick to win this tournament. Yeah, realistically, I'm going to pick a 28-3 Kansas team who has kind of proven themselves in the conference they play at out of the Big 12. I'm going to pick Gonzaga, a team that's consistently been there in the tournament, consistently been there in the Elite Eight, Final Four, and the championship game, that has proven that it can compete and contend and even beat top-ranked teams. I'm going to pick your Florida State, who has to play Duke in North Carolina and some of these other ACC teams, NC State, not necessarily so much NC State, but some of these other strong ACC teams on a regular basis. And even some of these ACC teams that kind of surprise you. I'm going to pick your Kentucky, who's got to play at strong SEC teams. You know, like a Florida that they just barely beat 71-70. I'm going to pick your Michigan State, who's got to play the Ohio State, the Michigans, and the Penn State, and the Purdue's, who Wisconsin's. You know, those teams that are traditionally teams that are in the tournament, teams that are traditionally in the top 25, teams that are traditionally there in your Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Fours. I'm going to pick your Dukes, your Maryland's. Those are the type of teams I'm going to pick. When I sit here and look at these, when I talk about teams that I think or expect to win the tournament. Excuse me. This is good. Told you I was a kid. Told you the allergy would kick my butt this year. But it's just funny to me that people just kind of have this look when they ask me this question and I give them an honest to God answer. And so, you know, I'll support, but I was. There you go. Hopefully that's it for the rest of the show. But I'm sorry, I just can't pick the Dayton Flyers to be the team that I feel is going to win this tournament or be really in a serious threat at this tournament. Now maybe we start getting through a couple rounds and we start, you know, if UT manages to find himself in the Sweet 16 or in the Elite Eight and they've actually played teams of legitimacy, maybe I'll start changing my opinion. As of right now, until they actually play something, I mean, what? Even in the first round of the tournament, they played George Washington. That's what they do. Like, when was the last time George Washington was a serious threat or a legitimate legitimate pick anybody to win this tournament. When you play in a conference that has Richmond and Rhode Island and St. Louis and DuQuoins, I guess how you pronounce it, Davidson, UMass. I mean, when was the last time UMass? I know once upon a time that was a legit program and people feared the Minutemen, but when was the last time feared the Minutemen? And what BCU made over on once or twice. They were kind of Cinderella stories, but nothing to be a serious threat to actually win the tournament itself. And so I just find it funny that people find such offense to it and think it's just so crazy that I'm quick to dismiss team that is played. Let's talk about their team. Let's talk about their schedule. Indiana State, Charleston South, Nebraska Omaha, Georgia. Okay, you had one SEC team not ranked. You played Virginia Tech. You're the team, the only team that you played ranked all year long. You lost to, and that's Kansas. Then Okay, Houston Baptist, St. Mary's, Drake, North Texas, Colorado, Gambling, North Florida, that's the LaSalle, St. Joseph, UMass, VCU, St. Louis. The list goes on and on. Your other loss goes to what? Colorado, but you've only played one team that's even in the top, one team that's even legit, period, in your whole thing, and you lose to them. I mean, granted, you get the close, kind of the 84 game, but that's it. Like, so why would you assume that I'm going to pick Peyton to go deep into this? Lord have mercy. Let's get to this. Let's get to this free agency. March 16th, free agency opens up. Get an opportunity to speak to all the free agents out there and make their best offer, make their best bids. New year begins March 18th at 4 p.m. So, basically, Tom Brady has a decision to make. New England has a decision to make. Once March 18th rolls around, 4 o'clock, either New England decides they're going to keep him and pay him, $13.5 million for rolling into the next year, or offer a contract, or you move on. Like, so it's going to be interesting to see what New England does. I still think it would be in Tom Brady's best interest to stay. Why would you leave a proven system? Why would you leave probably the best coach ever? Why would you change up your routine? Why would you do all this and finish your career somewhere else? And I'm not saying it's going to ruin your legacy, but why would you put a black mark on the end of your career? Why not finish out in a conference that you know you're probably going to win, in a division you're going to win, a conference you're probably going to, at least one of the last two or three years, represent in the Super Bowl? Like, I don't see how this ends well for Tom Brady if he goes anywhere else. You're also in a system that you've been able to master, and you've been able to make other people look good, that other people have stepped in. I mean, Matt Castle, 11-5, and Jimmy, what, 3-1? So you're looking at a combined record of, what, 14-6 in your absence. Matt Castle was garbage. That system was unable to produce. Jimmy, then he went to the Super Bowl, but it wasn't because of your arm. I mean, hell, one of the playoff games he threw 8 passes, period. So, That's kind of, take that as however you want. I just find it really, I would find it very odd. I would be really surprised if Tom Brady decides to go finish his career out somewhere else versus just getting what you can out of the last couple years of your career, playing in a system that you know, that you've mastered. Most players want to start in their career at the same place. Why not finish with the organization, the fan base that loves you, a fan base that thinks you do no wrong, an organization that's going to do their best to put an offensive line around you, protect you? I'm just not sure why you would go somewhere else to have issues, not have possibly the same protection, have to learn a new system, and potentially have seasons that either, A, you don't make the playoffs, and even more so, B, possibly not even have a winning record. Like, I don't see how that makes sense. And if I'm Tom Brady, I'm staying put. I want to finish out my career in a stadium that I know, a crowd that I know, a system that I know, a coach and owner that I know. That's where I'm staying. I'm not going nowhere else. And so, sometimes I just don't get it. I guess it's not always for me to get. I don't know. Oh, Lord have mercy. Tell you what, the Lakers are getting hot right time to get, ain't they? 13 losses this year, on pace to probably win about 67, 68 games. Going to be the number one seed. Obviously, they continue to pull away after this last weekend with wins against Milwaukee and the Clippers. As LeBron continues to put his name on top of almost everybody's list for MVP. It's crazy insane how that works. I don't still to this point get the whole MVP conversation. One, I don't know how at this point anybody really could be in conversation with LeBron James when he does everything on both sides of the ball. At both ends of the court. That just makes no sense. But then again, it makes no sense how Russell Westbrook could win MVP for averaging a triple-double to be the second player to ever do it. And that was the whole selling point of Westbrook winning the MVP that year. He was the first player to do it since Oscar Robinson and the only other player since Oscar Robinson. Then the next year, he averages a triple-double and yet doesn't win it. So your MVP quality when you tied somebody else and accomplished something somebody else did, but then when you accomplish something that nobody else has ever done, average triple-double two seasons, average double triple-double back-to-back seasons, no longer are you MVP quality. Like, where am I losing the disconnect here? Then he doesn't even win it the third year when he does 3 years of triple-double averaging. Like, how does this make – I don't get it. I really just don't get it. But what's great about the March Madness, the NCAA tournament, is soon as we roll out of the tournament, after we crown ourselves a champion in the tournament, then we roll right into time for the NBA playoffs. That is what is great about how they schedule this and how they do the timing of this. So as you finally get to catch your breath and, God, that was a hell of a tournament. Time for the NBA playoffs. And you roll into that, and we get to watch some of the best basketball in the entire world at the right time following the tournament. So, looking forward to that, and looking forward to seeing how this shakes out. It's crazy because everybody knows I'm a Cavalier fan. I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm not even on that. I don't like any other team but Cleveland. But honestly, disappointed to see how much we've fallen apart once again once we lose LeBron. And I don't like the Lakers. But I'm very intrigued to see how deep this Lakers team does go. Can they win it all? And something about this whole Clipper team makes me want the Lakers to prove a point and beat them. I don't know why. Like, I don't even like the Lakers. I've never been a Laker fan. I don't. Never. Like, I like Shaq when he was with Penny Hardaway and Horace Grant and Scott Skiles and Nick Anderson and the whole squad in Orlando. He goes to Lakers. I'm like, bump this. Like, I have no interest in this. And then I wasn't a Kobe fan. And so I have not had an interest at all in the Lakers. But all of a sudden, like, something about how Kawhi Leonard has carried himself this season and how he left Toronto, I just want the Lakers team to beat him. I don't know why. I really don't have a dog in the fight, really don't care, other than something just about that whole situation makes me want the Lakers to beat him. I can't explain it. Anyway, we got Izzo in the studio. Izzo's got a lot of things to get us caught up on over this last week or so in NHL. So without any further delay, let's go ahead and throw him in the studio. Izzo, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. We had a good slew of games kind of going on. We have a couple that just went final on NBCSN tonight. For those who kind of paid attention, the Boston Bruins were in Philadelphia taking on the Flyers. The Bruins skated away with a 2-0 victory in that one. The Penguins were in New Jersey to take on the Devils. So Pittsburgh and New Jersey doing some battle. Pittsburgh skates away with that one, too. That one just ended. We got a game that's kind of coming down to the last minute in the third period. We have the Tampa Bay Lightning up in Toronto taking on the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs are up 2-1 in that game with about a minute 10 left to go. With 3:25 left to go in the third, we have the Nashville Predators up in Canada taking on the Montreal Canadiens. The Preds are all over the Canadiens 4-2 in that game. At the end of the second period right now, we have the Hurricanes in Detroit taking on the Red Wings. They're tied at 2 right now, getting ready to jump into the third period. The Rangers are down here in Texas taking on the Stars. New York is up 2-0 on that game. Like I said, that one is on at the end of the first period. That game is available on ESPN Plus right now. We have a couple later games. We have the New York Islanders going out to Vancouver in Western Canada to take on the Canucks. That game is slated to start here at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Also at 10 Eastern, the Ottawa Senators are out in California taking on the Ducks. And that's what we got on tonight, Jay. That's what we have on the table tonight. But before we kind of dive into it, we did have another passing in the hockey community last week. Longtime Canadiens captain and longtime player Henri Richard passed away last week, which is rather unfortunate. Henri Richard and his brother, who is better known as the Rocket Richard Maurice, were the faces of that franchise during their respective times there. Maurice, the Rocket, as we know him, was probably one of the best pure goal scorers to ever play the game. A lot of guys still really look up to him, even in today's game. And Henry for the Americans, Henri for the Canadiens, was a longtime captain, multiple Stanley Cup winner for the Montreal Canadiens, was beloved by the fans, one of the biggest fan favorites. You'll still see the Richard brothers jerseys floating around, at the Bell Center where they play. I think it's the Bell Center where the Montreal Canadiens play. So just want to give a shout out to the Richard family, prayers and condolences. We really did lose a true legend last week. But other than that, Jay, we can dive right into it this week.
We've seen the NFL kind of be active or proactive when it comes to female coaches as one of the, I want to say it was defensive coaches or special team coaches. One of the coaches on the staff of the 49ers in the Super Bowl this year was a female coach. So we had our first female coach in the Super Bowl. And, we've had Craig Popovich, assistant coach, female coach. And so the NBA, has had their, time in the spotlight with that as well. And now the NHL is taking an initiative and trying to work on developing and having more female coaches and more female activity when it comes to the NHL. Want to talk a little bit about that, what they're doing, what initiatives they're taking, and how this could continue to grow the sport and make the sport to be a more diverse, but a better sport overall?
You know, it's when you really look at it, when you think of great hockey coaches, you just think of all the guys. You know, there's really no one that really kind of stands out, unless you have a woman who's been a coach at a college or a national team for, you know, decades upon decades. You know, it's rather unfortunate, really, you know, because I'm a big supporter of the women's hockey. I think they play an outstanding brand of hockey. You know, we all root for the U.S. women's team during the Olympics or our respective countries during the Winter Olympics. You know, they put up some great games, you know, and it's a good quality. And now that we have the NWHL, which is the National Women's Hockey League, kind of, you know, trying to kickstart things and everything, you know, I think it's important to have, you know, female coaches. You know, I don't think coaching is limited to one gender, really. You know, I think we've seen, you know, plenty of great female coaches, not only just in hockey, but in basketball and, you know, softball and what basketball. You know, it just kind of goes, you know, it kind of goes around. It kind of goes around and everything. So, you know, the NHL Coaches Association is going to launch an initiative to help the development of female hockey coaches at all levels of the game. So this is going to be the NHL, the AHL, the ECHL, the SPHL, even the college ranks. You know, this is going to give them an opportunity to, you know, have a path opened up to them. So this is going to be designed to sharpen development skills and strategies and tactics and everything, you know, networking and career advancement, essentially. So, you know, it's scheduled to debut at the 2020 NHL CA, which is the Global Coaches Clinic, which is held annually at the NHL draft on June 25th. This kind of fall, whatever city's holding the draft, this coaching association thing happens, you know, every year. So, you know, the cornerstones of these, of this program is just going to be able to, you know, help female coaches sharpen their skills so they can coach at any level. You know, I mean, I can speak personally, Jay. I've had my own mother as a coach, and my mom was very keen on teaching the actual game, the small things, you know, and really kind of spending time with the players that she coached over the years, you know, to be a successful team, to have, you know, wins and championships and things like that. So, you know, speaking from that kind of personal, you know, experience and everything, I wasn't allowed to call mom. I had to call her coach. And I did not get any favoritism. I got beat with my stick just like everybody else when I didn't perform or gave up a goal. So, you know, I do believe that you can come up with some great female coaches. I think with some of the girls that are playing right now could definitely have an ample opportunity to, you know, continue their career in coaching and staying with the game. You know, there's not too many women's players right now that, you know, have that ample opportunity to do so. So I think with this kind of kicking in, it's going to open up a lot of doors for a lot of females. Coaches who are interested in coaching at various levels, you know, working their way up through the farm systems and into the league, you know, so we could see a couple female coaches, you know, in a matter of a couple years, you know, granted their experience and the knowledge that they have, but with this initiative that the Coaches Association is offering is just, I think, is absolutely one of the best ideas that they've had in a long time. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm definitely going to be paying attention to it once we hit the draft time and everything. And I imagine more details will be released as we kind of get closer to June. So we'll be paying close attention to that one, Jay.
Yeah, this next topic is on a topic that I think I am, and I think most Americans at least are tired of hearing about, tired of being a conversation. But some parts of the world, I know Italy is one part of the world that this has hit, and I don't know if it's because their bodies are not as receptive to fight different viruses, or their doctors or their medical over there is not as advanced. I don't know all the details. It's one of those topics that I try to stay out of because it gets brought into politics. gal. But when it comes to sports, thing that you're talking about, especially a sport like hockey, where you're traveling up north and you're going to, you know, different places that are not governed the same, not medically possibly the same. You're constantly in airports. You're constantly traveling. You got people from all parts of the world that play hockey versus traditionally NFL. Most of them are just American football players, but hockey, you got people from all parts of the world. So there's a lot of traveling, a lot of family, and everything else. So I can understand this sport is being a little more of a spotlight on this whole topic. And of course, it's been addressed. What has all been discussed about this coronavirus when it comes to NHL? And is there anything they are doing or any concerns? Just because this is a well-traveled sport and it's not just played in the United States and a lot of their players are not just American-based players.
You know, this is, you know, Jay, it's a good thing we're not a political talk show because, man, could I give you some gold on this whole media coverage on this coronavirus thing, man. I tell you what, I could write a song, a poem, whatever you need. But, yeah, it is an unfortunate thing. I mean, we all have been hearing about this coronavirus thing. We've seen the memes. We've heard the news coverage. We've heard the politicians use it. But this morning, there was an article that was released today by the Santa Clara County in California. Through the end of March, there's going to be a ban on public and private gatherings of 1,000 people or more, which was announced by the County of Santa Clara's Public Health Department early this morning, I think around 9, 10 o'clock this morning. So that's going to impact the Sharks games, everybody that's, you know, any kind of sport team that's around in that area, in that Santa Clara County. I know there's quite a three or four teams that are in that area in Santa Clara. So this is definitely going to impact, I do believe, if I remember correctly, three of the Sharks' home games, which includes one against the Montreal Canadiens on the 19th, the Bruins on the 21st, and the, I want to say, the Arizona Coyotes on the 29th. I'll have to double check on that one later. But the you know, those three games are definitely going to impact it. There could be a possibility where we could watch a hockey game on TV and there's no one in the stands right now. So the NHL is definitely going to adhere to this. So are the San Jose Sharks. They're in full cooperation with this whole situation that's kind of going on right now. So there is a ban until the end of March. You know, so it goes into effect on Thursday. You know, because I do believe that the number of cases is up to 43. From what the local newspaper was reporting. So, you know, Commissioner Bettman did address the concerns regarding this whole issue. You know, he's considering every option right now, but, you know, and has not really made any kind of announcement because, like you said, Jay, this game is played in Canada, you know, almost down here, you know, all the way down here in Dallas. So, and that's not even including the NHL. You know, you still have the AHL, the ECHL, and all the major, you know, the major leagues that have teams that are all over everywhere, you know, farm teams and such like that. So, you know, and some of these guys, you know, some of these guys, they do travel, you know, quite a bit, you know. Some of these guys, their families are in their respective home countries, and they're just over here for the season. So, you know, it puts a restraint or, you know, or a handcuff on a lot of things that can really impact, you know, not only the play of the team, but, you know, a mental family aspect too. You know, that can play with your emotions quite a bit. So, you know, Commissioner Bettman, you know, I think he does kind of realize the seriousness and the gravitude of the situation, you know, which is kind of looming right now. So, because even down here in Texas, Jay, there's a couple businesses that have closed up shop right now until this whole thing passes over, because I think we have a couple cases down here too as well. So that's been the subject of Rockets games opening day for the Astros. And even the rugby and soccer teams and even the XFL team down here. So, you know, it's not just impacting hockey, but, you know, like you said, it's impacting a lot of sports right now. So, you know, even with my job, I'm a sales rep. So, you know, I've had people that refuse to shake my hand after I've done business with them. So, and I mean, it's, you know, it's completely understandable, you know, it's a serious issue. So, I'm just glad that, you know, Commissioner Bettman is not really kind of, you know, sitting in the dark on this. He is trying to explore every option. So, I mean, I have seen a game that was played with no fans in the stands due to fans fighting each other in the stands and everything. This happened quite – I'll have to look it up and put something on the website so fan, so everybody can hear about it or look at it and read about it. But, you know, I've seen a couple – I remember seeing at least one or two games where there were no fans in the stands and it was just the players and the coaches. So, you know, do you consider that a dress-down day because there's no fans in the stands? You know, can I wear some jeans and maybe a Metallica T-shirt to coach behind the bench? That'd be kind of cool, you know. So nobody in the stands to really impress or, you know, and try and put on a show for. But, you know, he is you know, speaking to a number of different organizations, the Centers for Disease Control, you know, and the Public Health in Canada, you know, so he's really kind of touching base and staying, you know, in close contact with these, you know, the Canadian and the U.S. Health centers, essentially. So what this is going to do, you know, to impact the rest of the season, because we only have about 4 weeks left to go in the regular season, you know, and, you know, right now San Jose is not even anywhere near a playoff spot right now. So, you know, I guess that's a good thing. You know, the safety of players is always an issue, you know, because I can remember a few seasons ago in Pittsburgh, there was a case of mono that ended up getting unleashed in the locker room, and a couple players came down with mono. There have been a couple, about 9-10 years ago, I can remember a staph infection going around in somebody's locker room, and there were some issues with that too as well. And, you know, even that whole SARS scare back in 2004 before that election, there was some issues with a couple NHL arenas, a couple scares and stuff like that, especially in the Staples Center where the Lakers and the LA Kings play. So, you know, it's a scary situation, you know, nonetheless. I do, you know, I'm not worried about it because I wash my hands and, you know, I grew up playing in the dirt and, you know, going to school sick, walking in 4 feet of snow. So, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation, and hopefully here soon that, you know, hopefully everything in Santa Clara clears up so we can get some fans back in the stands for the Sharks.
Grew up in the days drinking out of the water hose and a little bit of peroxide to get back out there and play and not be...
Even drinking out of the river, Jay. Even drinking out of the rivers and the streams, man. We've done it all up in that part of the country, man. We're fine.
Yeah.
We'll be all right. Coronavirus, get out of here.
three stars of the week. Let's jump into that and talk about our three stars of the week.
Man, we've been having some heckified games going on with some of these guys. You know, we had Mika Zibanejad, Gabriel Landeskog, and Leon Draisaitl. The first star went to Zibanejad from the New York Rangers. He topped the NHL with 7 goals in 3 games to help the Rangers to move within 3 points of the final playoff spot. Boy, what a turnaround for the Rangers, Jay. They were sitting at the bottom, and they're with 4 weeks left to go, and being that close out of the second playoff spot, man, that's a big boost right there. And keeping Chris Kreider with that contact extension was probably the best move that they could have done at that point in time. So kudos to the Rangers and Mika Zibanejad. Second star went to Gabriel Landeskog, left winger from the Colorado Avalanche. Has been the captain of that team for some odd time now. Went 3 goals, 6 assists, with 9 points in 4 contests to help the Avalanche to a 2-1-1 record for the week, and within 2 points and gained themselves some ground within 2 points of first place in the Central Division, that tough Central Division. So good play for them. They've been playing pretty solid. Goaltending has been very good for them. Third star, Leon Draisaitl, center for the Edmonton Oilers, has been really carrying the load for Edmonton right now since McDavid's been out with injury. Could return, I think it's their next game against the Jets. There is rumors that he could be playing in that game, so that should only help Draisaitl out. But he placed second last week in the NHL with 4 goals, 4 assists with 8 points in 4 games, and helped the Oilers to a 3-1 record last year. They're within 2 points of that first place spot in the Pacific Division. You know, so he's doing a heck of a job right now. If I'm not mistaken, he's among the league leaders in points right now. That's something we can we're going to get into next week and everything, because we're going to kind of look at end of the year trophies and everything like that. Who's front runner for MVP? Rocket Richard from all schools and such like that. So we're going to touch on that next week. But you know, congratulations to Landis Goggs, Zibanejad, and Leon Draisaitl. All three of these teams right now are playing excellent hockey. You know, and I'm just been very impressed over these last couple of weeks of what the New York Rangers did, Jay. They're not that far out of a playoff spot to really kind of turn it around for them. So really looking forward to the last couple of weeks for the New York Rangers right now.
Another interesting topic, and always an exciting topic, is the race to 50 goals. Let's zero in or zoom in on that, and who are our top runner, front runners, and who all is going to hit this mark this year?
Man, that's it's pretty rare when you get a couple guys that can hit that mark in one season. Typically you might get one, guys like an Ovechkin, Stamkos, who have done it before, there's only like one guy that does it a year. But when you look right now, when you have Ovechkin who's chasing 50, Austin Matthews, the young guy from the Toronto Maple Leafs, he's a pure goal scorer, and he's still got, a long way to go in his career to do this a couple times. And even Pastrnak, with the season that he's having right now, it's kind of crazy. All three of these teams are very successful right now, all in the playoff mix and everything. But if you look right now as it stands, all three of these guys are going to hit it, Jay. Pastrnak is at 48. Ovechkin's at 48. Austin Matthews is at 46. And there's still a couple weeks left to go in the season. So, I do believe that Pastrnak and Ovechkin do have a good chance at 60, which is something extremely rare and we don't really get a chance to see a lot of. But I do believe that not only is Pastrnak, Ovechkin, and Matthews going to hit that 50-goal mark, but I think Leon Draisaitl has a really good shot, and Mika Zibanejad even too. He's only only 11 goals out. So, that's the first time when you can have at least five guys that can have potentially hit that 50 goal mark. Depending on how the rest of the season plays out for them. So, those three guys have just been lighting the lamp left and right. You know, Ovechkin's been doing it for years now. You know, Pastrnak's been in the league for a couple seasons now. He's just finally getting into his prime. And Austin Matthews, he's just going to be sick. I give it the next 2-3 years. You're going to really see him, really put up a couple of 50-goal seasons without a doubt, because he's just too skilled and he is way accurate with that puck, man. I mean, first game out, first career game ever, you score four goals. You're a goal scorer. So, he's definitely going to light the lamp for all of those, for their respective teams and everything. And like I said, the big thing is all these teams are successful. Boston, who's in first place in the Atlantic Division with Pastrnak and company. Austin Matthews is sitting at third with the Toronto Maple Leafs in that Atlantic Division. Washington with Alex Ovechkin, they're sitting in first place in the Metro. And like I said, the Rangers with Mika Zibanejad, he's probably the outside one looking in. They're 3 points behind the Carolina Hurricanes for that second wild card spot. And Draisaitl with the Oilers, like I said earlier, they're in second place in that Pacific Division, 3 points behind Vegas. So that's the big thing, is all these teams right now, Jay, they're all playing great hockey. They're all, really, really successful right now in getting these guys the puck and giving them the opportunities, to score goals like that. So, to get one, maybe two guys a season or every other season, that sticks out. But when you have four or five guys in a season, that shows you that the offense is, really clicking for these guys, and they're just putting pucks behind goaltenders left and right.
And as always, as we roll into this next week and prepare for next Tuesday night show, what games do we need to tune in to, and especially as we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs, What games do we need to focus on, and what games are going to have the most playoff impact over the next week?
Well, tomorrow we have Wednesday night hockey on NBCSN. We only have one game on, which is slated for 8 p.m. Eastern. We have the San Jose Sharks going into Chicago to take on the Blackhawks. That's the game on NBCSN. Game I'm going to be paying attention to, the Red Hot Rangers right now going into Colorado to take on the Avalanche, who is a playoff team as of right now. So I'm really going to be looking at that one. That game is slated to start at 10 p.m. Eastern. That game is going to be available on ESPN Plus for those who have it. Going into Thursday, Jay, me and you are going to have a big battle. We got the Penguins going into Columbus, so we got a Pittsburgh Columbus interstate rivalry kind of going on real quick. Interstate love right there. So looking forward to that game as well. Also, two playoff teams, Flyers and Lightning in Tampa at 7 p.m. Eastern. That game is also going to be on ESPN Plus. That's a game that's probably one of the games I'm probably going to be paying attention to more than the Pens game. But going forward, I'd say Friday, the game that I'm going to be interested in, Bruins and Sabres in Buffalo. That's going to be a battle right there. Sabres are a pretty good team. They were a pretty good team, but right now they're really trying to fight to stay alive in that playoff race right now. So going to be paying attention to see what Jack Eichel and company do on Friday. Going into Saturday, this game is going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern. We have the Pittsburgh Penguins going down to Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. That game will be covered locally to all of our North Carolina faithful there. And then a big matchup Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. This game is going to be on NHL Network. Toronto Maple Leafs in Boston to take on the Boston Bruins, an original six matchup. Boy, do these two teams hate each other. So if you want to see a lot of physicality, that would be the game that I would probably recommend. We got a couple early games. On Sunday on NHL Network at 12:30 Eastern, we got the Oilers taking on the Flyers in Philadelphia. We also have a nice early afternoon game that's going to be on ESPN Plus, the Golden Knights taking on the Colorado Avalanche up in the Mile High right there in Colorado. So looking forward to that one too as well. And we also have in the late game, a later evening game on NBCSN on Sunday night. We have the Nashville Predators going up to the State of Hockey in Minnesota to take on the Wild. That game is set to start at 7:30 Eastern time. And then next Monday, Jay, another big battle for you guys. The Columbus Blue Jackets are going to go into Boston to take on the Bruins in Boston. So that's going to be a tough test to see how they do there. So I'm looking forward to that one. And another big matchup, this one's going to be available on ESPN Plus at 7 p.m. Eastern. We have the Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl and company coming into Washington to take on TJ Oshie, Alex Ovechkin, and the Washington Capitals in the nation's capital. That game's going to be on at 7 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern time on the ESPN Plus app. So don't forget, we only got a couple weeks left in the season. Playoff races are starting to form up. That's what I'm going to be watching for the rest of this week, Jay, and looking forward to next Tuesday.
Definitely looking forward to it, as always, Izzo. Glad to have you on. Look forward to sitting down. We prepare ourselves ever so much closer to the playoffs. You enjoy your week, and as always, I'm sure we'll all be chatting away in the chat room. We have a chat for those who are listening in the chat room for what's in. We end up talking hockey, XFL, and NASCAR right now. So we always got some kind of interesting going on. Always got something to talk about. But you enjoy your week, Izzo, and I'll catch up with you a little later on.
Hey, always a pleasure, and we'll catch you guys next Tuesday. Everybody be safe. Have a good night.
Yes, sir. I've got to thank Izzo, our NHL expert, for joining us. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter and cut it up with him when it comes to NHL. You guys can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. You guys can check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Don't forget, 8 o'clock Thursday night, Race Chat Live, Craig and Chris. I will be in the studio. I will be hanging out with these guys as we recap this last weekend. Let's say, was it Montana? It was California. Great race. I was kind of disappointed in who won, but I'm not a fan of that driver at all. And the guy I picked to finish in second, I almost got the right guy. But great race, interesting race. I can say that Ricky brought out the first wreck and the last wreck, if I'm not mistaken. I know he did wreck twice, though, so not surprised. But anyway, and then I'll be back in the studio next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. You guys have a great week. Enjoy your night. Join us Thursday. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.